Well, again, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you this morning. We have that opportunity that the Lord gives us to be able to come and to be able to listen to the message that He has put on our brother's heart. And I know our brother has a desire to be able to bring that message that he has, that was given to him by the Lord, to be able to encourage and to inspire and to help us have guidance and direction in this day in which we live. So I would ask that you lift him up in your prayers, that you would be able to take something from here that you could not only apply in your life, but in those that are around you as well. So with that, I'll give our brother Adam Yates.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning. We are in the... It seems like we have two times in the year here where we have kind of diminished numbers gathering. We have it always in the winter when people are sick, and then in the summer when people are traveling. So a lot of times I look forward to the spring and the fall when everybody's together, because I, as I've shared in times past, I truly love the opportunity for everybody to be together. So I'm going to begin today with giving a plug and a petition of you. I'll tell you that, so I have a the sermon that I'm going to preach today, you know, this is something, if you read the Zion's Advocate, it's going to be an article that I put in this next one. I sat down the other day, and I'll tell you, I try not to have to write an article for every Zion's Advocate, but unfortunately, what I publish depends on participation. And so the first petition I would give is that, you know, you don't have to be a minister to offer up a submission to the Zion's Advocate. If there's something on your heart and you feel to put pen to paper, even if it's a paragraph or something like that, and you give it to me, we all have an opportunity to uplift each other. And in my role as the editor of Zion's Advocate, you know, it's just one way that I have to not only uplift others, but to help facilitate others doing it. And so, so I'm not complaining. I write articles every once in a while, and this was something that was on my heart. I have this down because I do have a very short piece of PowerPoint I'll get to in a moment, but for the most part, I'm not necessarily going to do a PowerPoint. I have some thoughts, and so I was finished typing this out on Friday. I was busy all day yesterday, and so I have my article here that I'm just going to pull things from as I share this message. I guess if I were to give a title to this sermon this morning, I would call it Walking by Faith. And then a subtitle would be This is What I Want and This is What I Get. And you'll see that when I get to my PowerPoint. But I was having a conversation the other day with one of our members, and I think in the course of this conversation, we both kind of expressed this... This desire that we have and this struggle that we have. That, you know, I believe with my whole heart that God is a God who is able to lead and direct and touch us in our lives. We believe in the working of the Spirit. We believe that God has not ceased to move amongst His people, that He can speak to you and He can reveal things. We hold to this as a church. And I hold to it because I've had it in my life. But with that comes this struggle that we are always finding ourselves having to walk by faith, and I'll have this scripture in here later, and not by sight. And that is a struggle that I have. And I found myself from time to time, you know, and I'm speaking to this friend the other day, and we're kind of lamenting this. It's like, you know, I know God has a path for my life. He knows it. Whatever it looks like, it's His. And I'm trying to go forward. I'm trying to follow after Him. I'm trying to do all this. But, you know, Lord, it would be really nice if You just showed me one step ahead. And I've thought that quite a bit. You know, as you guys look at me today, you might notice that I woke up this morning and my face was bare. So I had to shave, right? My hair didn't fall off my face. It fell off the top of my head. But I had to shave. And why did I have to shave? You know, as we're trying to figure out in our family and for our future, you know, what do we do? How do I go forward? My life has changed. I've had to, you know, we started a new business and we're looking at different avenues of how we provide. You know, I've been pursuing an opportunity to get on a fire department. I want to finish out my retirement. It's something that I want an opportunity for. And, you know, as I've gone through this past year, there have been doors that have been open. And we've been praying, not, Lord, make this happen, but where do you want us to go? And it's all of a sudden this opportunity comes up out of nowhere. And things are looking really positive. And then all of a sudden, you know, an opportunity that was in front of me gets put off. Gets put off until the fall. And you know, it's interesting. I'm not going to go completely into this, but, you know, I've been working with some guys in the fire department and riding with them and trying to understand, because it's an opportunity I'd like to have. I don't know if it's what the Lord wants for me. But, you know, Rebecca and I were praying about this opportunity. I was going one day to go and hang out for a little bit. We're praying, you know, Lord, we just want to know where to put our effort. What is beneficial? You know, where do we put our time and our energy? And when I got there, this opportunity was provided me. And hey, we have this class at the college, and today is the last day that anybody can have interviews to get in, and we'd like for you to take this. We think it'd be really good for you. And of course, I was in a police academy, and I know what it means when somebody who's in a position of authority says, this would be really smart for you. They're saying, hey, you ought to do this. And so signed up for this class and shaved my face 2 days ago, and yesterday went and hung out with a bunch of college kids who, most of them graduated high school this year, you know, and I graduated high school before they were born, and I feel like just an old man. And I still wonder, you know, what is it in this? Would you just let me know, would you show me just a step ahead? Because I struggle with it. I find myself, and I've mentioned this before, and probably a lot of you have felt this way, is I'm far more aware of time now than I ever have been before. You know, when Joel had preached that sermon a couple weeks back about time, I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, here it is, it's January 12th, and this year is almost over. Because I said that last January when I stood up in front of you, and it was just like this. And I realize I have a certain amount, and how do I spend it best? And I am a believer in the Lord, and I believe that He has a way for me to spend it and to add value to lives and to my family and to this church and to my community. And to, you know, He has this way. But I find myself struggling that He just doesn't show me as much as I want Him to. And this is my thoughts today, and this is what I want us to consider. And I have just a couple things that as I sat down and I was praying about, I was just thinking, at the end of this sermon, I got four things that I'm going to work on this year to be able to walk more by faith and not by sight, to be okay with unknowns. And I think that oftentimes that's one of the things that causes us to struggle. You know, we can talk about these faraway events that we look at, Stephen, in prophecy. We were having this conversation in our morning meeting. And it's full of unknowns. But, you know, to me, what happens 10, 15 years from now, whatever prophecy is or isn't fulfilled or all that sort of stuff, it's not that it isn't important to me, but, you know, what's on my heart? Well, my heart is like, Lord, is the economy going to hold out so my business will still keep going so I can provide for my family? It's an unknown. We have to find this way to walk in faith and not be concerned with all those things that, you know, I look at it and I want all these things from the Lord, and in the end, it's like, man, I could see the Lord. He'd be saying, you know, that's just not yours to know. It's none of your business, Adam. I'm trying to be okay with that. And probably many of you are as well. And this message, you know, it's as much for you young adults sitting on the front row as it is for Brother Don and Brother Jim, you know, at 90 years old. Because there's always unknowns. And it will always challenge us in one way or another. And this is probably one of those things that opens up more opportunity for Satan to have a heyday in our lives. Because unknowns gives the opportunity for doubt and fear to enter in. Because I have that. You know, I have that right now. I told you, you know, is the economy going to hold out? I never have been one who checks Fox Business all the time to see what the stock market is looking like. But, you know, now that I have my own business, I know that if the stock market crashes, you know, my business is purely a luxury. Purely a luxury. I had done a kitchen for someone about 2 months ago, and she's a realtor, and she told me, she says, I tell everybody I live 30 days from starvation. I have a hard time with that. You know, so how do we become okay in walking in faith and not by sight? And what are some things the Lord's put on my heart? So I want to begin here, if you're going to follow, 2 Nephi chapter 3. And I've got like verse 29 to 66. We don't have to read all this, but this is like, I find myself turning to this so often because this is Nephi, and it's a psalm. It's him pouring out his heart here. And I would love to say that I've had all the experiences and I'm where this man was. I don't measure up, but I find myself in so many of these things, I'm like, yes, I've been right there. And I want to read, I'll read some of this here. I'll probably jump around just a little bit, but there's one thing I want to key in on, and I want to make some points here so that we kind of, maybe I help us to open up our view a little bit. So if we know this particular story, you know, Nephi and his family, they've gone through this tremendous wandering and traveling, and they went from Jerusalem and this place of riches and safety and all that stuff, wandering through the desert and all these things that happened to them, and here into the new world, and they're building their family, they're building their homes and all this stuff, and you know this patriarch, this man who the Lord worked with so much, Nephi's father Lehi, he died, and now Nephi is sitting here, and his brothers who hate him are hating him again, and soon after this, you know, they're going to have this separation because his brothers want to just destroy him and kill him and all that. And Nephi, you know, he was so burdened and he wanted so much to express this that he took and he had this all, you know, written on these plates with extreme difficulty to do so that we could look at it today. And I look at this and I think, okay, he's been right where I am. So I want to read this. I'll go 30 through whenever I stop. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, and my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. And you know, when I find myself with this all the time, I'm like, man, Adam, you shouldn't be struggling with this. Why are you still here? Why, with all these good things that the Lord has done, why do you struggle with, Rebecca and I talk about this all the time, you know, why do we let doubt start to creep its way in? When the Lord has done so many amazing things for us, you know, because I'm still human and I struggle with it. I'm encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. When I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I've trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep, and hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh, and hath confounded mine enemies, and hath heard my cry by day, and given me knowledge by visions. And I waxed bold in mighty prayer, and angels came down and ministered to me, and his spirit carried me away. And he says in verse 42, he says, if I've seen so great things, if the Lord, in the way he visits the children of men, if he visited me, why should I let myself struggle in sorrow and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of my afflictions? Because of all of these things, why yield to sin? Why give way to temptations? Why be angry? And then he stirs himself up. Then he gives these words. You know, he says, you know, we got to awake. We got to rejoice. We got to look to see what God has done. We've got to strengthen ourselves not to be angry and all these things. And then he begins to lay out these things. He's asking the Lord. And really what I want to focus on is one of these verses here. But he says, you know, Lord, will you redeem my soul? Will you deliver me? Will you make me to shake at those things that are sinful, that separate me from you? You know, will you encircle me with your righteousness? Will you make a way for my escape? Verse 58, wilt thou make my path straight before me? And I'll stop there. Because that really is that verse that I'm thinking about here. You know, I've often considered the struggles that that I go on in my life, and Nephi was struggling with it, and David struggled with it, and I'm sure, you know, that Paul struggled with it, and I know Jay has struggled with it, and Don has struggled with it, and, you know, Brother House, Nick, years ago struggled, you know, all these things. We struggle with life. We struggle with feeling the blessings of God and still failing. And we struggle with not being able to see ahead of us and all those things. We struggle with getting up sometimes and our alarm's got to go off. We struggle. You know, I used to read this particular passage, and I read this verse about him asking the Lord to make his path straight before him, and I thought about that in terms of Nephi, is that, you know, God was petitioning the Lord to help me see ahead. And we know that Nephi, you know, he saw all things. He had this experience where the Lord showed him from the beginning to the end. But the more I read and the more I look beyond this particular story and the more I look in the scriptures and all that, it doesn't appear to me that this man Nephi or most of these men were shown what every tomorrow was going to bring. In fact, it looks to me and it's apparent to me in looking through the scriptures that most of these people who we read about all of these things, they were forced to live and to act and to walk and endure life as mere humans, not as superhumans, not as someone who had this constant, continual stream of knowledge and understanding coming from God. Clearly, they had times where understanding was given to them, and we find it recorded here. But what we don't find recorded is the daily challenges of life and those times when maybe they were crying into their pillow because they didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. You know, I don't see any indication, if I just take this story of Nephi, that he knew that at some point, as his family is out there and he's trying to provide, that his only means of finding food was going to break. And I've been there. You know, we don't see these struggles, but we have to believe that they were there. We don't see the effects that all these challenges had in their life. We don't see the times of anxiety or unanswered questions. But what we're given is this picture that God gave them enough to persuade them to press forward. I want to, here I'll pull up my short PowerPoint. Is it up yet, Mark? Not yet. All right. It's coming. There we go. This is what I want, and this is so often what I get. I just hammered this out a little bit this morning. This is what I want. The Lord says to me, Adam, on April 22nd, 1999, you're going to have a final in Algebra 3-4, and your answer should be A, C, A, B. On July 23rd, 2001, you should apply at this place of business. You're going to talk to the manager, John, and if you tell him this certain thing, you'll get the job, which will help prepare you for the future. This is what I want. I want the Lord to say to me that. You know, back in those days, that's what I wanted. On December 19th, 2005, you'll be offered a job on the police department. You should spend the previous 6 months running every day to get in shape. This next one, I like this. On April 7, 2006, you'll have a 4-minute drill in the academy. Don't forget your boots that day. So I don't know if when Brian was in the academy, I don't see Glenn here, and I don't know if they did it in MCSO's academy, Aaron, but in the Aaliyah Academy, they did this thing called a 4-minute drill. When you as a class messed up so badly, which always happened, you would, in the middle of a class, they would break in, slam the doors open. Class, you have 4 minutes to go to the locker room, get in your PT gear, and be out on the parade deck. Time starts now. It's impossible. You can't do it. So you run out there and you change into that gear and you get out on the parade deck, and then they work you out until they get tired. And then they say, class, you have 4 minutes to go and get in your uniform and be back out on the parade deck. And then they say, class, you have four, and this goes on for an hour sometimes. It ends up, I think this happened to us in April, it was cold. It ends up with you notice the first time you go running by that they have all the sprinklers on in a particularly low-lying area of the academy. And by the time they put you in there, the water's about this deep. It's freezing cold. Well, so this particular day, It would have saved me a lot of hassle if the Lord would have just said, Adam, on April 7, 2006, you're going to have a four-minute drill. That day, you're supposed to be at the range all day, so you don't think you need to bring your boots because you're going to be in tennis shoes all day. But unfortunately, enough people did something wrong that you're going to have a four-minute drill. And so I was the one guy who didn't have my boots. And I was there, standing in full uniform, with the exception of my brightly colored tennis shoes. And that got me a little bit extra work. You know, what I want the Lord to say, Adam, don't forget your boots that day. In March, I wanted him to say, in March 2007, you should look to refinance your home because there's going to be economic troubles that will soon follow and a smaller house payment will be helpful. How many times have we prayed about stuff like that? You know, it's a good time to refinance my house. Where do I put my money for my retirement? On June 3rd, 2011, your father will pass away. Spend time with him now so you have no regrets then. You know, why didn't the Lord tell me that? November 19th, 2013, you're going to have a discussion with a coworker about taking a test. Say yes. During the reunion of 2015, there'll be a sermon you really need to pay attention to. So pay attention to it. Why didn't the Lord tell me that? In August of 2017, life is going to become very complicated and troubling. Strengthen yourself and your family for that now. This is what I want. This is what all of us want, don't we? Because then we know. And yet so often, I find this, Lord, help me. I'm lonely. Would you bring somebody into my life? I was there. Lord, help me to know where I should go to get a job or what to say in this interview. Lord, this would be a great opportunity, but is it worth me putting forth time and effort? You know, when what I want is the Lord to say, yep, Adam, this is a great opportunity. Pour your heart and soul into it. This is where you ought to be. And yet, so often, that's not what we see. Lord, help me. I didn't see this coming. And I'm struggling with how to pick up the pieces. Could I have seen this sooner? Where do I invest my money? Should I buy this house? Is the economy going to hold out so that this business is one that's worthwhile? How do I prepare for retirement in the days that follow? You know, these are all these things, you know. I've got this sickness that doesn't seem to go away. How long, Lord? This is where we find ourselves so often, and this is where we struggle. This is where we have difficulties. That's it. That's my PowerPoint, not my sermon. And in just these things that I just hammered out real quick this morning, probably touched something in every one of your lives. And all these things that we wish we had some foresight in, and yet it wasn't ours to know. So what do we do? How do we walk in faith? I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find, I'm not going to read it, but we know it, this definition of faith that is famous, you know, substance of things hoped for. We hear it all the time. It says in verse 6 that it's impossible to please God without faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And in some ways, that's kind of the crux. That's something we need to think about. That, you know, we grow in faith and our ability to walk without being able to see because our relationship with God grows because of our seeking of Him and His ways. And I want to build on that a little bit later. But, you know, I look at this, and if we were just to cherry pick some of these readings in here. So I'll go to verse 8. You know, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. That Abraham, he had to walk not knowing where he was walking to. And I wonder how much of a struggle. It doesn't say in here, and if I go back to Genesis, it doesn't say, you know, what that thought process was like for Abraham. And maybe it was easy for him, or maybe it was difficult. but he walked. And why? Verse 10, he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It talks about his wife. You know that Sarah, by faith she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child after she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 13 says, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And so, you know, one thing I recognize to being able to walk in faith is spiritual maturity. And we struggle with that. I struggle with that. I'm not there. Because it shows a lack of maturity when I feel like I need God to lay out everything for me. Sometimes, maybe some of you guys watch sometimes some of these TV shows about time travel. Anybody ever do that? And they talk about how dangerous it is for you to know everything that's ahead of you, right? And I wonder if there's a little bit of truth to that. Where sometimes knowing too much can actually be a detriment to us. But we struggle with it. Keep going here. You know, it lays out, it talks about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, talks about Joshua and Rahab. And it says in verse 39, it says, all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, he lays out all these things, and in this it talks about all these kind of heroes of faith, right? For their steadfastness, their dedication. But one thing we see laid out clearly is that they were all persuaded by something that was in the future and distance. They only were given a glimpse. And never was everything laid out perfectly before them. And so I find myself, as I read this, that I find myself, I read Hebrews chapter 11, and I can look at it with two sides of this coin. Either I can find it this message, this chapter of hope, right? That God blesses and takes his people by the hand and leads them, and that's hopeful. Or I can look at it and I can be like, so wait, does that mean that I'm going to have to be like Abraham, who I spend my life wandering and not knowing? I don't want that. Or like Noah, who has acted on something and then was mocked and ostracized because of this. Or Sarah, who had to hold to this promise many years in the future. Or Rahab, who had to hold on to the faith that, hey, when these walls come falling down, that it's not actually going to kill and destroy you. That's a struggle. You know, you look in the Book of Mormon in Moroni chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Moroni is laying out this thing. He says, you know, I thought that I wasn't going to be alive at this point. But since I still am, I'm going to write a few more things that seem important. But he says, I wander from day to day not knowing when I'm going to be discovered and destroyed. I don't want to live like that. That doesn't sound pleasant, you know. And it would be easy just to say, you know, have faith and trust in God that will take care of all these things. And that's true and sound advice, but I'm probably not the only one who has trouble with this. So I want here, I've got four things as I draw this, it's going to be a short sermon here, to conclusion. Of how I think and how I'm, some things I've gleaned from some sermons and from some testimonies, some encouragement, some scriptures that I've read, some things that I have looked at and that I think, okay, this is how I feel like I can be okay with dealing the unknowns in life, and how I can not just walk and tread water, but how I can survive and thrive as a Christian, even though I have no clue what 2020, this entire year, is going to look like. I don't know what it's going to be like, and I can either have it cause me to struggle or I can look forward with hope. So how do I do this? And so I want to begin here. I'm going to give you number one. And I want you to, let's see what I want to do here. So I have here in my things, you know, connections come through connecting. And that's weird. Kind of a weird statement here. Connections come through connecting. You know, we connect with God through prayer and meditation, through reading scripture, through listening to and singing spiritual songs, hearing testimonies, fasting. I'm sure you can add more things to your list. You know, when one thing I find is there's a place in scripture here that I have some notes that I've written on the side, and I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but it talks about how that, you know, yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to look there real quick, I'm going to read verses 9 through 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. says this, "But it's written, the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save it the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I look at this and I have in my margin some notes that I wrote here, is that, you know, our relationship with God and his Spirit changes our understanding and helps us to know the mind of Christ. It becomes so much easier for us to not worry about all these things. You know, I love the scripture and I believe it with my whole heart. You know, when Christ is talking and he says, you know, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you." But if I don't have a picture of what the kingdom of God is, how can I fully trust in that particular, in that phrase? How can I trust in that if I don't have a picture of it? And so as I connect with God, as I come to interact with him more through my spirit, as I pray and I meditate, you know, big thing for me, and I do it more and more and more, is I'm listening to songs, spiritual songs. You know, I listened to the sermon that Brother Brian preached at reunion. He was talking about how to become more spiritual. And one thing, and I'm glad he mentioned it, was through music. I believe that music is something that is essential. It connects us in a way that's different than just words. And I've told you guys this before, and you know, as you know, so often I have found that I find clarity and direction through song. Oftentimes it's through songs. I've stood up and told testimonies about it. I hate this song. I don't like it when somebody calls it in our song service, because it's just not a song that appeals to me, but it had something in it the Lord spoke to me through. Connections come through connecting. And as we connect with God and as we grow stronger in our relationship, I believe that he oftentimes helps us to see things and help us to have understanding for what's coming, whether it's in our life or in our church or whatever, but it also makes us okay. We become all right with walking in faith because we have a different picture and a different vision. God's Word helps us to know his mind, his ways, and his plans for us. And I think sometimes we struggle with things, questions, uncertainties, questions about opportunities that could be simply answered if we just look to God's Word. I'm going to give you an example, and I don't mean for this to be offensive, and I realize this could be. But you know, I look at the scriptures, and we've heard it, and if you look at the scriptures, you recognize that everything about what God put in place is about bringing us all together. And I remember a time in my life where I was in a relationship, and this person I was in a relationship with was wanting to move, and they wanted to move to a different state, and they wanted me to go with them. And I spent a whole lot of time considering it. I felt like I had a future with this person. And I don't remember ultimately there were some other things that happened that made me change my mind. But, you know, I think about that, and I think about how much weaker I would have been away from the body of Christ. And you know, so I look at the scripture and I think that, you know, we look at it that everything is about drawing us together. And so I always struggle when I hear somebody talking about, well, I'm praying to know whether I need to move to such and such a place. Because I think that part of our connection with God is looking at his Word and understanding what he has done that we can be blessed and benefited by. One way that we can judge opportunities of the unknowns of life simply by looking at his Word, it's there for a reason. Let's see what I have after that. I have number two here that I think we need to think about. So that first thing is I'm gonna encourage us to do that. I'm trying to make it a better habit. You know, I'm a guy who I get up in the morning and I have my cup of coffee and I want to look at the news. And I read the news. And I don't know why I read the news. There's never anything that I feel like is incredibly important in it, but it's like I'm programmed to look at the news because I'm getting older, I guess, and I just want to know. But I'm trying to make this effort that I want to connect with God when I get up in the morning. I pray before I roll out of bed, but then if I have time, I don't have to get up and go somewhere. That the first thing I do as I'm drinking my coffee is I want to read God's Word. Because I want to connect with Him. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells me that the Spirit of God helps me to understand. Helps me to be able to see beyond the things that I'm only able to understand as a human. Because all I can understand as a man is the things of a man. And a man worries about the economy, and a man worries about his job, and a man worries about all these things. But you know, the Spirit of God helps me to see beyond. So I'm working on that this year. And I hope you do so as well. The second thing I have that I think we need to work on is I have number two here, count your blessings. There is a wonderful song in our hymnal, and it's not my favorite. I don't really care for it a whole lot, but count your blessings. And it says, count your blessings, name them one by one. So when my professional world started to crumble around my ears, my wife and I, as we laid there in our bed trying to figure out what we were going to do, we said, you know what, we're going to take some time and we're going to count our blessings. And we began recounting in the years of our marriage, of our life together, all of those things that we could bring to mind about what God has done for us. And if I look at it and I were to weigh it in a balance, those things that have happened in my life that were amazing and miraculous, they far outweigh any of the troubles that I've had. And it helped to change, and it's not that everything was okay after that, but it helped to change our perspective. And we continue to have to do that. I stood up and I've told testimony after testimony, 30 days from starvation, right, as a business owner. You know, and I come to the end, I finished my last contract, and I don't know what's going forward, and we started praying about it. Lord, provide for us. And then He did it. And the blessing outweighed. My wife read me something the other day, and I put it in this because I think it's so important. There was a statement by C.S. Lewis, an excerpt from one of his writings. It says, called Letters to Malcolm, Chiefly on Prayer. And I think this is really interesting because I think he hits on why we sometimes fail to consider how blessed our life is, and it causes us to struggle in looking forward. So he says this, C.S. Lewis, this is such a great quote, it seems to me that we often, almost sulkily, reject the good that God offers us because at that moment, we expected some other good. Do you know what I mean? On every level in our life, in our religious experience, our gastronomic, erotic, aesthetic, and social experience, we are always harking back to some occasion which seemed to us to reach perfection, and setting that up as a norm, and depreciating all other occasions by comparison. But these other occasions, I now suspect, are full of their own new blessing, if only we would lay ourselves open to it. God shows us a new facet of the glory, and we refuse to look at it because we're still looking for the old one. That was a mouthful. Maybe I'll try to break it down in dumb Adam thought. Sometimes we feel like we don't recognize or we're not being led or we're not being blessed by God because I hearken back to this time that God spoke to me, Adam, do this. And that's the level I expect from God. So all these other blessings, all these other things that happen in my life, oh, they're just good, but they'll never measure up to that because that was the pinnacle for me. And what he's saying is, you know, rather than setting something up as this is what a true blessing is, it's when the Lord stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, buy this house. What, you know, whatever it is, this amazing experience. If that becomes the pinnacle, that becomes our standard, nothing else that God will ever do will measure up. And so it becomes part of our perspective. Can you look and can you see how God gives a new and perfect and wonderful blessing every day? I liked what Jared said in a testimony the other day. He said, you know, all these blessings, he said, every one of them is a miracle because they shouldn't have happened. That's a great outlook. You know, sometimes we find ourselves frustrated because God's work in our life doesn't rise to the level we think it should or add up to previous blessings. And with this sometimes being the way we perceive things, no wonder we struggle with our faith. But I believe that one way we strengthen our faith is we draw back upon previous occasions of God's working with us and answered prayers and hearing how He's worked in the lives of others, and nothing is too small. I'm not the only one who's prayed for a dog, and the Lord's answered it. And that was huge for me. I still cry about it. I love that dog. Number three. And so, you know, as I go back, what am I going to work on this year that I feel like is going to help me to walk in faith? As I'm going to look back and I'm going to see how God continues to work. And you know, I have no reason to doubt that if God has worked with me in the past, that He'll continue to work with me in the future. No reason to doubt that. Something I'm going to continue to work on in this year. Number three, lay hold on good things. Moroni 7 and 28. We can turn there. I don't remember if I want to read more than that or not. Yeah, this whole chapter here, it's this dissertation on faith, hope, and charity. And it begins talking about good and bad and how we judge it and what we should be willing to accept and all those things, you know, and how to look at opportunities and things in front of us. Does it encourage us in our spiritual walk? Does it detract from God? Does it add to it? This is how we know what is good and bad. But in verse 28, he says this. He says, speaking of Christ, says, He's answered the ends of the laws and claimeth all those that have faith in Him. And they that have faith in Him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore He advocateth the cause of the children of men. And I'm going to stop there. You know, we read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I have it written here. You don't have to turn there. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It appears to me that when we look for those good things of God around us, when we hope and we pray for Him, we become changed in how we approach Him. We become changed in how we view God and also how He hears and interacts with us. When we are pursuing good. You know, there are things in life that are clearly bad or wrong. But I find myself more and more that there seems to be those areas that in my mind I would justify as being gray. And because I justify it as being gray, I find it all right to tap dance around in it. Accept a little bit of something that's not okay because it's not all bad. And I wonder if that is really laying hold on good. And I fully admit that this is a failing that I have, and I'm trying to think about that and pray about this year. You know, one thing for me is, you know, I'm not here I go try to justify myself. I don't feel like I'm watching horrific things on TV and all that, but you know, I give in to things, and it's not cleaving with good, and I do believe that it affects the way that the Lord is able to work with me. Maybe some of you are like this, that you know, I still from time to time have, and I know it's Satan who will interject some of my failings in my mind from time to time. Strange times. When I'm praying or whatever it is, there's just this thought of this thing that I've done or whatever thrown in my mind. And you know, in my humanness, I wish, you know, what I want and what I get. I wish God would have said, you know, Adam, if you look at that on such and such a date, it's going to haunt you 20 years from now. Where was I going with that? Cleave to good. Because cleaving to good things, focusing on them, looking for them, trying to be a part of good, trying to stay away from not just evil, because I think all of us would probably not go and participate in something that has Satan's name all over it. We probably wouldn't. But do we participate? Because I know I do, in those things that are gray areas. And is that grasping hold of God's good? And when what I read in this reading in Moroni, it says that those who have faith in Him, they cleave unto every good thing. And it says, wherefore He advocateth the cause of the children of men. You may disagree with me that those two sentences might not be connected, but I do believe that they are. But you know, I believe in a God who looks at where we're at and what our heart is and what we're trying to do, and He meets us in those things. And I just don't see that God meets us in our sin as far as helping us in it. I want to say that better, but hopefully you can read between my muddled mind here. Anyway, I want you to consider that. That's something I'm gonna be praying about, that I'm laying hold of good things, because I believe that helps the Lord to see my heart, and I believe that it helps the Lord to be willing to advocate on my behalf, because He sees that I am looking and I'm moving and I'm trying to be more like Him. The fourth thing and the last thing I want to talk about today, I have number four here: pray for peace. So in a recent sermon, it was Brother Jay who had said this, he talked about peace, and he said, "I found that when I have peace in my heart and peace from the Lord, that I can walk any road." And I've thought about that a lot. I've thought that sometimes we fail to recognize what true peace is. We would consider peace to be that everything around us is free of stress and trouble and worry and danger. We have trouble considering that someone who lives in a war-torn country where they never know when a bomb is going to drop on their house the next day, or when someone's going to kick down their door and drag them off, we struggle to think that they could ever have peace. But I come to recognize, and we know this, but are we truly realizing this, that true peace is something that's internal? It's within you. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." There is a spiritual place or an attitude which is able to be unfazed by everything that is distracting and that is disturbing or that surrounds it. Maybe this isn't a permanent place. Maybe we're not always in a place of peace, but it is something that is attainable and something that we need to work on. How do we find ourselves at a place where we are at peace? We see this pattern over and over again throughout the Book of Mormon. The people, they humble themselves and wars and things cease. They find peace and prosperity, but peace and prosperity brings complacency and they tumble again into turmoil. The pursuit of peace can't be stopped, forgotten about, or downplayed. It means working to remove things from our heart that fails to invite peace. Anger, lack of forgiveness, all these things that we hear over and over again, they don't invite peace. But when we have peace with the Lord, we have a calmness and an understanding that He is with us, we can walk any road. I've really been thinking about that a lot. Because I've been struggling with that, with peace. Peace on this earth cannot be fully complete until Christ comes. As long as this world and humanity is broken, so will complete peace be broken. But peace within our soul is real and is attainable. And I'd encourage you, and this is something that's going to be on my thoughts and my heart this year, that I pray to the Lord for peace. And where I do things that detract from peace, that the Lord helps me to know when to change it. I think that part of this peace is the assurance of God with us. We find that Christ assured His followers that there would be a way to maintain that connection through the Holy Ghost. We find we partake a sacrament in truth and sincerity that connection is revived and strengthened because the Holy Ghost is the comforter and the bringer of peace. And when God is with us, and when He is in us, He helps us to find that we can walk any road, especially those unknown roads of life. This scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And I find that such a frustrating scripture because I would like to walk by faith with sight. And it's appropriate to pray for God to show us things. This example is clear throughout God's Word, and as a church, we should expect it. But the real question is, and I want to leave you today, is, and this is for, 17 and 18-year-olds looking at a possibility of college, a job, a relationship, some expecting children. Hey, the work begins. My good friend that I used to work with, I did his and his wife's wedding a couple years ago. They texted me this morning as I was walking to church. They had a baby yesterday. And what a wonderful blessing. And, you know, I told them, I said, you know, I'm so proud of you. But, you know, this is nothing but more work. And questions and unknowns. Can we be okay with walking simply in faith that God will lead us every day through every situation, even if we have no foreknowledge of it? That's hard. And I think this is where the Lord is calling us to for whatever the future brings, whether it's personally or as a church or for our nation or whatever it is. I don't anticipate that the Lord is going to open up the map of my life in front of me and show me everything. I don't think it's reasonable for me to ask of that. But I do think the Lord provides sufficient assurance that we can walk without fear, simply by faith. This may be what I want, but what I get is simply that the Lord, He assures me and He's with me every step of the way. I need to be better recognizing that and being able to walk forward in faith in knowing these things. So I hope that in some of my thoughts this morning, maybe I gave you a few things to think about, to consider. You know, it's the beginning of the year. The year's almost over. What's it going to look like tomorrow when we're getting ready to usher in 2021? You know, every unknown that is in the 11 months and however many days ahead of us, can we be okay with walking in those? And we walk out of this year into the next one, recognizing God as He works and moves in our life. So I hope that you find yourself encouraged by this message. Thank you.